Manifested Glory Worship Center, kingdom focused, kingdom minded, kingdom living. You are now listening to the Rhema Talk Podcast with Kevin White and Faith Matthews.
Welcome to the Rhema Talk Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Faith.
And we're here hanging out with you for the next hour or so. Faith, I got a question for you. What happened to spring?
Spring is not here yet. I'm convinced.
Why?
Because it's freezing outside.
I left my house this morning and was like, oh, Lord, I thought I wouldn't need a coat this morning. But thankfully, we got here. We had an excellent service. Minister, I'm sorry, I keep saying minister. It hasn't set in yet. Elder John.
Yes, he doesn't get bothered by that.
Elder John gave a great word this morning, speaking on Palm Sunday and pretty much how we got to do better as saints.
Right.
Got to do better, got to do better. He broke it down in such a way that it was one of those, again, being in our church, what's the word I'm looking for? Our church vernacular. It was an ouch moment kind of sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Very ouchy sermon.
Yeah, he came from reading the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, as well as Matthew 21, 1 through 7. And he was talking about the two donkeys, you know, mm-hmm. how Jesus, you know, when upon his entry into the city, mm-hmm. He required getting two donkeys that had not been ridden. Well, yeah. One was a donkey, one was a colt.
Mm-hmm. Now, Faith, you broke this down in a way that my mind, mentally, I wasn't able to break it down. Because mm-hmm. he was talking about how the donkey is a stubborn animal.
Yes.
And Minister John related that back to kind of how the nation of Israel was kind of a stubborn nation.
Right.
It's just a fact. They were a stubborn nation all throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But you broke it down in a different way. Could you please share that with us, please?
Well, okay, so the donkey, again, we're talking about the children of Israel, and all you have to do is read through the Old Testament, and you'll see plenty of times where the children of Israel, they praised God, they served God, and then they were like, okay, he left me. He's not here. He's not relevant anymore. And they started worshiping idols.
Hey, bring out the golden cow.
Exactly.
God's,
you know,
God's gone, apparently.
They wouldn't. It's very, the people, they were very easy or very quick to forget all that God did for them throughout the, mm-hmm. the years, mm-hmm. you know. And, but when God, or when Jesus, I'm sorry, when he asked for this, the colt, it was, as Elder John brought it out, it was kind of like symbolic of the donkey, which was the old covenant, and the colt, which is the new covenant.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's the Gentiles, those who, you know, that God called out, which is the church, the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
that was pretty much symbolic of the cult. That was,
yeah.
That's what it was to represent. And we are that cult. We have an opportunity, a door, to be included in the kingdom of God.
And that's such an awesome gift because, you know, throughout the Bible, first, especially in the Old Testament, it was really, you know, a lot about the Jews and the Israel, I don't want to say Israelis, that's kind of the wrong word,
mm-hmm.
but about their people and how God wanted to work so hard to bring them back into the fold, and how a lot of times they just spit in his face.
Right, right.
Whereas us, the Gentiles, here comes Jesus riding in on the colt, and we're, of course, a lot of those people saying kill him 5 days later.
Right.
But still to this day, the Gentiles love that he came and gave us this gift. And God said, okay, he saw our worship, he saw our praise that you're into.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I think it's an amazing thing that he would think about, because, you know, Israel is still his chosen people.
Right.
To this day. But the fact that he can open up his arms, kind of like the, always compared to the guy that marries a woman that already has kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes them like his own.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right now I'm saying thank God that I'm your stepkid, pretty much.
Yeah, I understand. And you know what? That's true. Because it's one thing to, you know, have, like you just gave the analogy of the example
mm-hmm.
of a man who is going to father children that's not his.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you can have men who do that. You can have people who do that. But when they actually treat them as if it's their own, that does so much for the child,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and for the relationship with the whole family, because the whole family unit, because it means something when you are wanted and when you actually are accepted. And no one sees the difference, you know. Mm-hmm. You're accepted, and that makes you, as the child, love him even more.
Exactly.
You see?
Exactly.
So as a people, as the body of Christ, as Christians, we should love God more in a way, because we did not have this opportunity before. It wasn't always there. You know, we were not accepted, or, you know, but because of what he saved us from and him giving us an opportunity, that should show, that means we should show even greater amount of gratitude.
Exactly.
You know, to
exactly.
God.
And I try my best, me personally, to do it every day. You know, first thing I do, wake up in the morning now, before I thank God that I'm a day closer to seeing the Avengers, I thank God for another day. And I'll pick out a book at random, usually. I'll read a book of Ecclesiastes. I'll read a book of John. Mm-hmm. I'll read something just so I have that. I'm not really searching for a specific word that fits my situation. You know, people always say, oh, I'm opening this Bible, whatever lands on it, whatever it lands on
right,
it for me.
Right.
I'm not doing that, but I want something to be deposited into my spirit early to take out with me for the rest of the day, you
right,
know?
Right.
Because it's a gift that I got that I don't want to seem like a pastor said one time, an ungrateful receiver. But in that same vein of, you know, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a colt and the donkey, was basically, John broke it down, that the donkey was carrying the word of God, because John 1:1,
right,
in the beginning there was the word, where was God, where was with God. So
right,
Jesus is the word personified.
Mm-hmm.
And he was being carried by a donkey.
Right.
And Elder John asked this question: are we carrying Jesus, or is Jesus carrying us?
Right.
That kind of, man, that took me through a loop, because you see it. You see people. How do I say it? You see people that come to church for the act of coming to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't see. You see people that come in and treat it as, you know, a networking place,
mm-hmm,
to, you know, maybe they get started a car washing service, I don't know.
Right.
You see people coming to socialize with their friends. But sometimes you don't see people that come here literally to receive the true word of God.
Right, right.
They're not coming here to get that deposited into them so they can take it out to the world to see it.
Well, you know what? It reminds me, okay, if you think back in with King Saul,
mm-hmm,
okay, he was the first king of Israel, and his mission before he was king, he sought out his father's donkey,
mm-hmm,
you know,
okay,
and but of course he didn't find it, and he gave up on looking for it, okay. But David, on the other hand, his father didn't even believe in him. I find it very interesting, because his father didn't believe in him. But David, when he lost the sheep, the one, he fought, what was it, a bear and a lion or something, just to protect the sheep.
That man lost sheep.
Right, now, for us. But the thing is,
circle of life.
But the thing is, all right, to try to bring it back to your point, Saul did not see the value.
Mm-hmm.
In his father's donkey, you know.
Yeah.
But David, he saw the value in his father's sheep. He saw the value in the sheep,
mm-hmm,
you see.
Yeah.
So as the, you know, churchgoers, I guess you, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm, you know, do we value the word of God?
Yeah.
Do we see it as something worth pursuing? You know, we can't just keep, you know, coming to church just for the sake of doing it out of routine.
Religion.
You know, religion.
Yeah, that's what,
you see.
It's not... like being religious means that each morning I wake up, I put two Eggos in the toaster,
mm-hmm,
and put two sausages in the microwave and eat that every morning. That's my religious breakfast, because I do it every day.
Right, right.
Church should not be a religion.
Right.
Church is when you're coming to seek a relationship to better your life.
Right.
And to show God's light in the world.
Right. And you know what? Christianity in and of itself is not, and it should not be viewed as a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a relationship.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Going to church, that is your opportunity to learn. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's your opportunity to get closer to God, get a better understanding of the Word of God. You know, but again, what do you value? You know, do you really see coming to church, giving your offering and giving of your time, mm-hmm, and just listening,
mm-hmm,
do you see that as being something important? You know, like Elder John was talking about, how he did an exercise for the young people,
mm-hmm.
and where he hid a Bible and he hid a cell, one of the teen cell phones.
Oh, really?
And so the whole thing was, okay, let's see how hard they search for the Bible, you know,
wow.
and as opposed to the cell phone. And of course, true form, you know, just what he thought was going to happen, they spent more time looking for the phone. And it was like the world was over. You know, why are you playing with me, Elder John? Just find my phone. Give me my phone.
Wow.
You see? But again, that is, now these are young people, you know, it's children.
Yeah, but they're still learning.
Right, they're still learning. And this that was a great opportunity for them to really see.
Look inward to themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, but we're adults now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are adults.
Yeah.
And so once you come into the knowledge of a thing, you're responsible. You're accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we get taught, you know, and fed every week.
Yeah, exactly.
We're supposed to be trying to learn on our own as well.
Mm-hmm.
But how long is it going to take for us to kind of like grow up and actually listen and pursue this thing on our own as a serious, you know, a something serious that we should hold dear to our hearts?
I don't remember growing up in the church. For me, the Bible was that blue book in the pew that had the pictures in it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That was what the Bible was to me. Like, and you kind of can see like the little color page and you know, white pages. I'll turn to that page, it would be the picture of Jesus playing on a rock before they came and get him in the garden,
of
Gethsemane. For me, that was what the Bible was till I was probably a teenager. And then when I actually started reading the Bible and seeing how all the stories are kind of interconnected with one another,
mm-hmm.
that's when I realized that this is not just a book. First of all, it's not a book. It's a book of books, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not just one book. It's a book of 66 books.
Exactly.
And that's when I started to realize that this is nothing to play with. This mm-hmm. is nothing to play with. This is true, first of all. It's just the truth.
Right.
It is the... And it's like what... I keep calling him minister. Elder John. It's like what Elder John was saying that... Like, okay, here come Pastor. Our God is so bad.
How bad is he?
That the word manifested as a man.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like... That's almost like I'm speechless right now thinking about it because that word died for me.
Mm-hmm.
That word, did all those miracles while he was on earth. That man came back. And
yes.
That word came back on the third day.
Right.
Like what? I did it. I told you I was going to do it.
Right.
You know?
And you know what? It kind of goes into what he talked about a little today when it came down to the commitment of the believers,
mm-hmm.
okay? So when Jesus came in, you know, rode in, the people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Mm-hmm. And you know, for those who don't know, Hosanna, it means save me, Lord. So
yeah.
The people, you know, they were like, this is him, this is the king, he's coming to save us,
mm-hmm.
you know? And as you read,
yeah,
those were the same people who called for him to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
They were the same people who wanted a murderer, you know, to take the place of Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, they wanted to spare him.
Which I will never, I mean.
But that's the world. Because
you're
appeal
right.
to
you're
the carnal,
right. yeah.
you know. It's like, if you think about yourself, your own walk, you know, at some point, especially when you were probably a babe in Christ, you know, there was somebody who knew more.
Mm-hmm.
spiritually,
mm-hmm.
and you were intimidated,
yeah,
you know, and so you kind of didn't want to be around them all the time,
uh-huh.
or didn't want to have a conversation, because part of it is you think about yourself. You're not thinking it's an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking, I don't want other people to know that I'm ignorant in something, and
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you're
and
absolutely
so,
right, yep.
And, but, you know, just like with the people, they weren't really committed, you know, to God, you know, like he said, Palm Sunday, if you really think about it, it showed the people's fickleness,
yeah.
you know.
Fickleness in the church, fickle church people.
Exactly, you know. But it was a great point I thought he brought out.
So we were talking, like we said earlier, the fickleness of church folk, pretty much, the fickleness of church people, how,
mm-hmm.
you know, say we're doing the announcements, we have had a good event, we're doing the announcements, and somebody forgets to thank somebody, you don't see that person for another 3 weeks because
mm-hmm.
I did all that work on that ministry and they ain't talking to me. You know, fickle church
right.
folk, it's all about not about doing the work because it's the right thing to do, you know, doing the work for God's house, but doing the work so you can see me doing the work so I can get my credit.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? And Elder John talked about it in his sermon. When he first started, and a little bit more as he went on, about the he used the term the Geico 15%
off. Save 15% off car insurance.
So, because like we aren't working, doing the work of the Lord and worshiping here because it's what we need to do because He's God and He's due His praise.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it because, you know, I'm gonna give him the $20 in the offering so I can get $20 back one day.
Right, right.
I'm doing X, Y, Z so I can get A, B, C. You know,
right.
We're not doing it out of a pure heart of a servitude. We're doing it out of a expectancy.
Right, right.
Of, you know, I'm gonna get.
It's like, what's in it for me?
Exactly.
It's all about you. It's
exactly.
all about me, and it's not about God and nope. what he's due, what he's worthy of.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that goes to the point he was making about, you know, valuing, placing your value in these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much do you really see the word of God as being a weighty thing? I mean, the very fact that we take our salvation so lightly,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's so carefree. We don't realize what it took
exactly.
to even get it.
It's almost like when you're a kid growing up and you just knew it was food on tape all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see your mom slaving
right.
in the kitchen for 6 hours before you get home to school. You
right.
don't see your dad, you know.
Stressing to even get the money too, you
exactly.
know. So you don't think about those things, mm-hmm. but your parents are always reminding you, hey, this isn't free.
Exactly.
You see?
Exactly.
So if you think of it like, you know, God is always throwing out reminders to his people.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't free, you know.
No.
This isn't easy.
No.
Now, yes, I'll give it freely, you know.
That's who
but
he
you
is.
You have to remember what I went through. Remember that. That way you stay humble
exactly.
and grateful.
And like Jesus did it in a humble way because he rolled in. He could have rolled in on, you know.
A horse.
He's Jesus. He could have got a white horse. I don't even know if they have white
right.
horses in Africa. But he could have did it because he's Jesus. But and that's the way I try to we should try to live our lives is to be as humble. Jesus was God.
Mm-hmm.
He is God. But he did it in such a humble way
right.
that, you know, like he could have rolled in on we could have rolled in on a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been awesome because it would have been the Lion of Judah riding a lion.
Right.
But he didn't do it. He rolled in on a donkey. And this people, especially church folk, it's like they want everybody to see what they do. They want everybody to know that it was them that made the poster that said, you know, we selling dinners after church.
Yeah.
But we get no love to the person that's here, you know, Saturday morning cleaning the church.
Right, right.
You know, and I wish as a church ecclesia we could, I don't want to say this because I don't want to seem like I'm condemning people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, don't worry about being seen doing it. God sees you doing it.
Right.
God sees you doing it. He sees your sacrifice and he's going to honor it.
Well,
don't do it just because you think you're going to get a random check in the mail for $1 million. That's not
right.
how it works.
Well, you know, the Bible, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, that's in Psalms, I believe.
Yeah, Psalm 84. Psalm 84.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's actually, we gloss over it and we look at that verse and it's just something to, you know, to overlook.
Mm-hmm.
But really, God is like, you're looking at me, all of me, and you're going to try to compare me to a man. And you're going to worry more about what a man thinks of you,
yeah.
you know, than what I think of you.
It's like, you know, right now I'm sitting here in a pair. I got on brown shoes and black socks. I don't care. Because I know who I am in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know who I am in God, so I don't get upset if I offend you because I say something that the world doesn't agree with.
Right.
I don't care if, you know, you get upset because I put more value or stock in what I do here and not what I do at school or do at my job because
mm-hmm.
school and job is not, that's my resource.
Mm-hmm.
God is my source. That's who I have to be accountable for every day of the week.
Right.
That's why, like Elder John was saying, you can't do certain things.
Right.
You can't go certain places. And a pastor was saying after church how there's certain things that, you know, the Bible says that aren't, you know, explicit or illegal. But as a pastor of a church, he can't do certain things either.
Right.
You know, and it's through these things that people see that we have values, that there are places that we won't go, things we won't say, that they start to see the light
right.
in us. And then they come to us with questions saying, you know, why do you do this?
Right.
Why don't you say that? Come on, I'm going this way. No, I can't go that way. I'm going this way.
Right.
Why you gotta do that? And then that way, once we start acting like we are Christians
mm-hmm.
and we are held to a higher standard than most, then maybe the other people, the outside world, mm-hmm. will look at us and start, you know, to ponder, like, what are they doing?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you know, it takes, just like he said earlier, the people, they may mock you, or they may, you know, they'll do certain things, and they'll say certain things to test you and see if you're mm-hmm. you're legit, if
exactly.
you really believe what you're telling us, you know. Like, as far as, like, saying, oh, I don't curse. Well, you know that the people are going to be like, what did you say? What did you say?
Exactly.
You know, they're
like,
always going to be.
Yeah, at least twice a week for you. Like, no, I ain't say that.
Right. I mean, I know I've been there. And so, but the thing is, you never know how the Lord is using you mm-hmm. as a testimony to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because after all, we are the children of God. We are representatives of Christ.
Yes.
So with that being said, they will come to you because they're like, you know what? This person has integrity. This person is holding true, whether they believe fully in uh-huh. the word of God or not.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say this person has hope and they have an answer, you know, and it may be the very answer to their problems, to their questions,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you let God use you, but you have to be a good example in yeah. order for him to use you.
And the Bible verse escapes me, but Elder John was talking about how one day he was sleeping and he said a not so good word.
When he was young, before.
this is his sister, so she probably knows the whole story verbatim.
Yes, I do.
But what was the scripture he said that?
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Exactly. So if we're filling our heart with the word,
mm-hmm.
the mouth will speak the word.
Right.
So yeah, it begins right there. So when we wake up in the morning and first thing we do is turn on like the radio shows before we actually say, you know, stop, because it should be the first thing we do every do.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor says all the time, if you don't know one scripture in this church, you know Matthew 6:33.
Right. That's right.
Exactly. So we need to start in first thing in the morning is you need to deposit some word into your spirit.
Right.
That way you never know what's going, like you said, you never know how God's going to use you.
Right.
Something could happen and you might speak that word that you receive in the morning, and suddenly you could change somebody's entire view of life.
Right. It can come back to you, you know, and change your life.
Exactly.
You could have a rough day or a certain thing to happen, and God will bring that verse or that, you know, the word, that perspective,
mm-hmm.
and it'll change the way you think about things, mm-hmm. change the way you behave and you act, and change the way you respond to certain things.
Exactly.
And that's what we need. We all know things come up, life come up, and life happens, and it's unexpected. And it takes feeding your spirit the right food, the right mm-hmm. thing, in order to have a good response, the
exactly.
right response to those different things.
It's some days I always say, if life had a face, I would punch it. But thankfully I'm depositing in my spirit, and hopefully you are too, the right things to deal with those uncomfortable situations that happen in life, those things that happen out of left field, just, you know, one day you're driving and your wheel fall off. It's like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's like you just want to scream and curse and cuss, but if you take a second to breathe, thank God, and just pray to yourself, you know, silently or even out loud if you want. It doesn't even matter. It can change your entire perspective on life and give you the tools to better your outcome, and then just make your outlook on life that much better. You don't want to be a narcissistic, you know,
mm-hmm.
just glass half empty. Nobody likes that guy.
Right. Well, you know what? You don't want to be like the children of Israel. You don't want to be that stubborn mule, you
exactly.
know, but that's kind of like that. The church is pretty much made up of those people, you know, mm-hmm. the two types, those who are more grateful, who are, you know, were called out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and are so grateful that they were called out because the world didn't want them,
mm-hmm.
you know,
exactly.
they weren't accepted
exactly.
anywhere, you know, but you have those who were accepted and who take advantage of it, who kind of like take it for granted,
exactly.
rather, you know.
Exactly.
And but you know what? Again, as a people, we have to reflect on our relationship with God. So that means if you don't want to be fickle, if you don't want to even be considered in that category, then you got to turn your gratitude up. You got to really show that you're grateful for all that God has done for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be grateful for salvation. We gloss over it and we don't really appreciate it. But it's so much stuff that we are saved from.
Oh, man.
You know,
yes.
I mean, Pastor's been teaching on Bible, you know, Thursday nights of Bible study about
Bible
Revelation.
Study Thursday nights at 7:30.
Yes, please come. but yeah, he's been teaching about Revelations. And when you really look at Revelations and you go through it, it's like, I don't want to be there. I don't even want my enemy there, you know. But again, it makes you're looking at the last book, you know,
book.
Of the Bible, and it makes you think about the first book. It makes you think about how everything began, you know, mm-hmm. and what we are delivered from that very beginning, from, you know.
Yeah, I saw the picture of the locust that Deacon Luke drew. I was like, man. First of all, good job, Deacon Luke. That was an amazing portrait.
Yes.
I didn't know you were that good, dog.
On the fly.
Yeah, that's amazing. You got a talent there. You need to cultivate. Feed your spirit. But
yeah, he's good.
He's very good. But this is, can you imagine that flying down from the sky? To
no. No.
Thank you, God, for saving me. That's all I have to say about that.
Yep.
We're going to step out for a quick second for a break. We'll see you on the other side, the Rhema Talk Podcast.
I enjoy Manifest the Glory Worship Center because it's really a place that feels like home.
Everybody's real down to earth.
It's a church that caters to the young choir or the youth.
It's prayer. It's organic. Everybody's very welcoming.
I was immediately welcomed by people who I had never met before, and it was just a really amazing experience.
Not a lot of a show. It was more of a teaching type of atmosphere.
Pastor delivers a great word every single Sunday that touches my life.
Nobody feels like they're bigger than the church. Everybody's on the same platform.
It's a great place of worship, and it's full of real people who show real love, and they're genuine.
Nobody tries to be holier than thou, some people say. Everybody's real down to earth and friendly.
Come to Manifested Glory Worship Center and receive the unfiltered, true word of God in a genuine and loving family-friendly atmosphere.
When I mean, you come in, you feel the spirit, you feel the kingdom experience, and it's your place to be.
You can't get better than that.
And welcome back to the Rhema Talk Podcast. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Faith.
So, Faith, we had a topic suggestion from one of our listeners. I always wanted to say that. We had a topic suggestion from one of our listeners. Who was it?
Rob Reason.
Oh, Rob.
Yes.
I like Rob.
He's all right.
What were we talking about?
Well, he wanted to know, he wanted us to talk about for a person who came from out of the world. Mm-hmm. And once they give their life over to the Lord, you know, how do you really change, you know, the things that you used to do, you know, and go in the direction that you're supposed to go as a believer?
That's a good topic. Wow. Good job, Rob. Well, the first thing you have to do is, this is just, we were talking about in our last segment, it's a certain things you can't do anymore. I mean, you can't give your life to God on Sunday and then go out to the, you know what I'm saying, to the bar Sunday night to watch the fight and gamble and smoke and cigarettes. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
You have, it has to be a full-fledged heart, body, mind makeover of your entire self.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know how people say that they do certain things because they were born this way,
mm-hmm.
you know? The funny thing is, when you come to Christ, you're being born again.
Exactly.
You see, so and it's for everything that you are dealing with and you're struggling with. If you come to Christ, if you choose to come to Christ, and you're struggling with certain habits, well, it doesn't mean that you're automatically not in God.
Yeah.
You're not in Christ. No, it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and everyone should understand that.
Exactly.
You know, however, there's a, you know, a point in time when you have to actually beat
mm-hmm.
that fight. You
mm-hmm.
have to actually win and conquer
yeah.
your flesh.
Yep.
So as far as changing, you have to come to the understanding that it's a process of denying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think it was it's John who said, I must decrease that, you know, he might increase.
Yeah.
So there's certain things in life, as for, you know, like, take, for instance, fasting.
Yeah.
Okay. The very basic principle of fasting is getting your flesh under, you know, control. You know, it's like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to eat because you told me to eat. You know, I'm going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Something that your body doesn't want to do. Okay. So that's why, you know, we were talking about it the other week about teaching your young people to deny themselves now, teaching
yeah.
them to come to church even when they don't want to, because mm-hmm. the whole thing is teaching them how to say no to their carnal nature,
yep.
you know,
yep.
and how to surrender to God. So if you're struggling with certain things, you have to actually practice saying no to yourself.
Yep. And then it's also important to remember that you're not going to go from, you know, walking down the aisle in a church on Sunday, giving your life back to God, to pastor on Monday.
Exactly.
You
right.
know, it's a long and drawn out process. I mean, pastor talked about it today during his address, how he couldn't be a pastor when he was in his early 20s. He was still doing him pretty
right.
much, for lack of a better term. You have to remember that when you come to Christ, you're a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So that you got to learn how to, first you got to learn how to roll over.
Right.
You got to learn
how to walk on your own.
You got to learn how to speak.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you first, like, you know, I thought, now, I remember when I was a kid and I first, you know, gave my life back to Christ, I thought once that happened, it was like going to be, you know, like a science fiction style beam of light that was going to
yeah.
beam down information into my head. And
right.
I'll be, and like, no, you got to do it yourself.
Yeah, like God will, he'll help you in certain things. He'll
yeah.
give you certain,
mm-hmm.
you know, revelations. But just like in a relationship, you know, if once you get married, you're no longer acting like a single. You know, you're not supposed to act like you're single.
You better preach faith.
You know, you know. But again, it's transforming your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get, you know, saved, it's like a heart transplant. You know,
mm.
you're actually getting the heart of God.
Exactly.
And replacing yours,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the heart, the Bible says, is desperately wicked.
Yes.
You know, so it wants to drink. It wants to party. It wants to cheat. It wants to, you know, do all of those things to feed itself
mm-hmm.
and only gratify itself.
Mm-hmm.
But when you become a Christian, when you, you know, take on God's heart, then your focus is on what pleases him and what gratifies him.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to deny yourself those simple pleasures.
Yeah.
You know, those things that you know is really not for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
your body wants it, you know, your mind may want it, but you know it's not good for you.
It's not.
You know.
It's not. It's almost compared to dieting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you say, you know what, today I'm going to start my diet, no more fried foods, no more ice cream,
mm-hmm.
no more cake after whatever. Then you sit down and turn on TV, and what do you see?
Exactly.
You see, like, you know, the brand new,
you know,
breakfast egg double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Coming to McDonald's, that's deep fried, and you just got to bite into it, and all the stuff just melts to your mouth. You know, it's like you watch it,
yeah.
and it's like, oh, why? Because it's a test.
Right. Right.
It's a test. As soon as you, it's just the way life works. As soon as you say, you know, I'm not going to do one thing, that one thing's going to say, why not?
Yeah.
You know. And then to get back to your fasting reference, it's like, I remember it was a few years ago, I went on a fast. It was a corporate fast. It's probably one of our, I think it was our first anniversary
mm-hmm.
when we were still in the school. Went on a corporate fast. I just started my new job at CarMax. So I said, okay, my first time fasting. I'm a fast. It's going to be awesome. As soon as I said I was going on a fast, I went to work that Monday. My boss came
fails.
To me. Hey, Kevin, we're going to take you out to a Red Hot Blue because we want to get to know you. I'm like, really?
Yeah, whenever I want to get invited out, I just go on a fast because it happens all the time.
And I'm sitting there like, what do I do? I was going to, you know.
Right.
But that's just how it works, you know. Being a Christian, especially somebody that's not coming from the way we grew up in a Christian household.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it was a way of life. It's just
right,
what
right.
we know.
Right.
But for somebody that's coming from, you know, the street, somebody that's coming from the corner, somebody that's coming from the gutter.
Right.
It's a
struggle.
It is.
You know.
I mean, look at Paul. I mean, Paul didn't grow up in the church.
Right.
But, you know, God met him on that highway.
And you know what? Another thing is, you're exactly, you're, you know, absolutely right. If you think about, like, the lineage of Christ, you
yeah.
know, that he came through murderers. He came through the line of, you know, harlots and, you know. And so the thing is, okay, it's a sketchy past. It's a, you know, a lot of people who had really awful backgrounds. But God can still use you.
Yes.
God can still do mighty and wonderful things if you let him.
Yep.
You know, if you surrender your will to his.
Yep.
You know, you take Rahab, you know, the harlot. Okay. Now, Jesus came through her line.
Wow.
You see?
Yep, you're right.
But because she actually had a moment, and she wasn't, the Bible doesn't talk about her being preached to, you know, but she had a moment where she saw the men, and she was like, you know what, I'm going to protect these godly men. You know, and by her doing that, it's saved, you know, a people.
Exactly.
You see, and God, he used her and he placed Jesus in that line, you see. So for you who are listening, you can have a sketchy past. You may have a something awful, or you may not have, you may have grown up in a church all your life. It doesn't really matter. God can still use you.
The king example, that's David.
Exactly.
I mean, David did some shady things, but.
Right.
His commitment to praise and worship,
right.
He knew who God was. He knew that no matter what he did wrong, God still do my praise and worship.
Right.
And
right.
There was a lot of times, I talked to Elder John about this once or twice about it. It was a lot of times that the reason why David didn't get what was coming to him, but because of his praise and worship.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because of his heart, because of his...
It wasn't lip service.
He actually
meant it.
Even in his wrong.
Right.
Yeah, he knew. And that's the other thing we gotta get past too, is that when you thank God for Christ, because today when you sin, it's not an automatic condemnation. Thankfully, depending on what you're doing. I mean, as long as you're not blaspheming the Holy Spirit out there. I mean.
Yeah.
But when you. What the plan of the enemy is when you sin, you steal a piece of candy from the store. I don't know. I'm trying to keep it light. I don't want to say anything heavy.
Yeah.
Steal a piece of candy from the store. Satan wants you to keep thinking about that. You did that. God doesn't love you. Doesn't want anything to do with you. Who are you doing stealing that Jolly Rancher?
Right. You know? There's a shame that he brings.
What you got to realize is that through that shame, the name that's above that name of shame is still Jesus.
Right.
He's the name above all names. So no matter what you do, you can still come back to God. Because he still love you, he'll still take you in, and he'll still use you.
Right. And again, it's a process, and I do not want anyone to think that you can continue to do certain things.
Thank you. Correct me when I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. You got to remember we're talking to both babes in Christ as well as those who have, are learned in it. But we have to always bring it back to focus, and we have to always remember that that's something that happens when you're young in the Lord, but eventually God does expect you to grow up.
Exactly.
You know, we are not going to stay the same, same age, have the same mentality. That's why you come to church.
Exactly.
That's why you learn, because what you learned years ago, you'll get a whole new, fresher perspective.
Oh, definitely.
You know, when you come, that's the power of the Word of God. It doesn't change, but your perspective changed because you have experienced different life, events that makes it all the more relevant, to your situation.
Yeah. It's like Pastor always uses the illustration of, him and his friends might go out and play basketball on the weekend. That doesn't mean they're basketball players.
Right, right.
You may sin once in a while. You aren't a sinner. Now, if you are habitually sinning, then you're making mockery of it. So when you get down on your knees and say, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't do that," he's not going to hear that.
Right.
Because he's like, "I saw you do it. It's a tenth time, man." You know?
Yeah. But and you have to repent. We know about that. But, if you're truly trying to change certain habits, and, like Paul, he said, "The things that I don't want to do, I hate it, but I do it." You know, that was Paul being really honest about his struggles, So there are things that is like, okay, I really don't like that I do this. But you find yourself doing it because you want to gratify the flesh. You want to please yourself in the moment, whatever that may be. But again, there you have to come to God, and you have to repent, you have to pray, and you really have to give it over to God.
Yeah.
You have to ask God to take these things from you, take these burdens from you, help you and strengthen you so that you can fight this thing, you can resist.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's one of those things where people always say, You know, when it comes to help people, give an inch, they take a mile.
Yeah.
Well, with God, I always believe if you give him an inch, he'll give you a mile. Mm-hmm. If he sees you trying to make these strides to become a better person, to try to stop your bad habits, to try to get to know him more,
mm-hmm.
he's going to help you.
Absolutely.
He's going
to
help you.
Absolutely. Because his goal is to get you to where you need to be.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Over again.
And, you know, some of you may be listening, and you're listening to us talk about those who are already believers, you know, who want to know how to transition, you know, into the next phase, you know, of their walk with uh-huh. Christ. And but you may be saying, I never even took that first step, you know.
Yeah.
So just remember, we are here. We love you, you know, as the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want an invitation to give your heart to the Lord, it's always there.
You
know,
yep.
You don't have to belong to a specific church. You know, it's not about that.
No.
You know, but you just repent, have a heart to heart with God. And ask God to forgive you of your sins, you know. Turn away from those things. At least give it over to him so that you can make the steps to giving your life over to God and giving those problems over to the Lord. Mm-hmm. He will listen. He will hear you because he does love you. He is a personal God. He's your personal Savior. So that means he's there for you individually.
Exactly.
Not just as a group.
Exactly.
You know?
He is your God. I mean, he's our God, but he's also your God.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we have, if you're listening right now and you want to reach out to somebody, you can go to the website, mtwc.net, or you can like us on Facebook. I mean, reach out to us on rainbowtalk@gmail.com. We'll get you in contact with somebody that can
right.
help you take your next step
right.
into the kingdom. You know what I'm saying?
Right. If you have any questions about, you know, how to go deeper, you know, and how to give up certain things. You know, we're always here to help. We're glad
exactly.
to help.
You can see us on Sunday after church. Just grab us up real quick on Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a random Saturday when everybody's down here. I mean, just grab us up. It's not something that we're not going to take lightly.
Right.
You know.
Because it's a serious thing. This
exactly.
is a serious matter.
You know, and one of the things that helped me that when I first started taking my walk back to Christ in my adult life was music.
Mm-hmm.
I love gospel music, like,
right.
Because most of it comes from Psalms in the first place.
Yeah.
I always thought like Psalms and songs are the same word. I don't think that's a mistake. You know, one of the songs that, one of the songs that got me through.
Yeah.
Walter Hawkins, Thank You, Lord, for All You've Done for Me. When I hear that opening piano riff, it's like, I just think of all the things that happened, you know what I'm saying? All the things that I've been through, that
yeah.
you know, the time I almost stepped out in the street, got hit by a car, and I didn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
anything. It's just
yeah.
like, it opens you up, and you just like, it's almost like you're just sitting there in a chair with your arms stretched out open, like, thank you, God. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You know, I kind of actually feel that way when I listen to Vicky Winans' Long As I Got King Jesus.
Long As I Got King Jesus, yeah.
That's me and my mother's song, you know. When it first came out, that was all we listened to.
Exactly.
But you know what? The thing is, it really ministers to me. And it sounds funny, but, you know, it means something to me. Because
I mean,
when people, you know, let you down, people betray you,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever the matter may be, you know, it's always being reminded that as long as you have God on your side, as long as Jesus is still in your corner, you know, and you're on his side,
exactly.
you know,
exactly.
then you're going to make it.
You're going to make it. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, oh, Faith, I love you so much. And it's not even as a praise and worship music, but as a worship song, the song that still, every time I hear it, just like works. I have an old school soul, so when I say
yeah.
the song, you're probably going to be like, "Really, Kevin? You're like
mm-hmm.
28 years old." But oh Lord, how excellent.
Okay, I think I know.
How excellent.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about.
It's like probably like four lines of dialogue in that song. Like there's no long verses.
Right.
It's no dissertations about a testimony. It's just, "Oh Lord, how excellent is your name."
Yeah.
And this is that name, literally, just that. Just thinking of how many times I've just called on that name.
Yeah.
And received deliverance,
mm-hmm.
received revelation, received vision.
Right.
Just from the name.
Yeah.
You know, oh man, I love music. I mean, I guess it's because I'm a psalmist at heart.
Yeah.
That's where, like, you know, it kind of just kind of pours out of me. It flows from me.
Mm-hmm.
I can literally go home. It's another song I love. He Reigns, Youthful Praise.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
song is just about God reigning. It's not really, it's not saying, you know, God, you know, I will bless the Lord with the hand of the day. I will bless the Lord, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I will bless the Lord.
Yeah.
That's all I'm just saying. You reign.
Yeah.
It's great because you reign.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm kind of, you're looking at me kind
of
like.
No, it's fine. Because, you know, one of the things about those songs, especially, you know, the old song. Again, I'm old. I love old music, too. But one of the great things is that it actually took the attention off of yourself, and it made you focus on who God actually is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the magnitude of his glory.
Yes.
You know, and so it's, you know, I don't want to sound like my mother because, you know, my mother, she's like, you know, this new stuff, that's for y'all. That don't do nothing for me, you know.
A lot of the new stuff is good, but it's good.
It's nothing
like that foot stomping, hand clapping gospel music.
Right.
You know, it's nothing.
Because
like
you know
it.
What? It's also a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to remember the day and age they were in when
exactly.
they sang that. They had some struggles.
Yes.
You know, they had some hardship.
More struggles than just you know, saying your car won't start.
Right. Right.
Songs like somebody throwing a rock at me for no reason.
Right.
Like, that's a struggle.
Right. You know, songs with you know just because they're of their race. You
exactly.
know? It's like they actually came through some really tough times.
Real tough
and
times.
So to praise God and to worship God and talk about how good he is
mm-hmm.
in spite of all the stuff that's going on,
exactly.
that takes it to a whole nother level.
I mean, people laugh at me because I still sing the old anthems.
Mm-hmm.
The old, like, no music. Like, okay, if you're not familiar with an anthem, pretty much a gospel song with no music.
Right.
It's just
right.
vocals.
Right.
You know, and it's when you listen to it and you hear the passion of the choir singing the song.
Yeah.
Like Elijah Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah.
Oh, I love Mahalia Jackson singing that. I'm sorry.
Elijah Rock, my favorite one is Sit Down Servant.
I don't know if I know that one.
The lyrics is Sit Down Servant, I can't sit down. My soul's so happy that I can't sit down. Like,
wow.
That's how I feel sometimes when I'm doing the work of God. Like, it's like, you know, I get excited. Even doing this podcast, singing, getting the church ready in the morning, that I do that on Sunday mornings, I get excited to do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I get really happy. Like, I'm going to do something that actually matters.
Yeah.
Now, you go to work, you know, you put in 8 hours. That crap don't matter because at the end of the day, you got to do it again next week. This actually is for something that's going to last forever.
Right, right.
Forever. Like, for all eternity, all we are going to do is praise and worship the Lord.
Yeah.
And that gets me so jacked.
So excited.
I'm so very excited. Oh my gosh, Faith, I'm spent.
Well, that's why we always talk about preparing yourself now. Because if you can't take it now, how are you going to take it in heaven? How can you praise God if you can't, you know, and for all eternity, if you're not prepared to praise him for the 5-10 minutes that we do praise and worship pretty much?
Well, not 5-10 minutes, but I mean, I get what you're saying. It's almost like, it's like a half hour or so. But
I'm just saying, I've even heard, in your own personal
yeah.
time.
I've heard people complain when the choir sing 3 songs to the 2. I'm like, what are you complaining about?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you can't give God worship at least for the half hour on Sunday that you do it, for some people,
mm-hmm.
not naming anybody, not calling anybody out, but for some people that only really do it when they come to church.
Right.
How are you going to do it forever?
Right. But you know, that's why you have to get in this word. You have to learn of who God is. If you really take a nice long look at who God is, then you will... almost, you'll pretty much be compelled to praise him because he's so big. He is so awesome. And there's so much to God that we pretty much have only scratched the surface.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good. It was good talk today, Faith. It was some really good talk today. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Rhema Talk podcast. As always, you can email us your topic suggestions,
mm-hmm.
Comments, or just say hi at rhematalk@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at MGWC's Rhema Talk Podcast. And of course, visit the website, mgwc.net, for announcements, pictures, and so, so much more. You got anything else to say, Faith, today? Because you were laying on thick today. It was awesome.
I think I can drop the mic and walk away.
Like a boss. All right. We'll catch you guys next time. I'm Kevin.
I'm Faith.
And this was the Rhema Talk Podcast.